All right, let's go ahead and get started. Hello there. My name is Aaron Aiken, and welcome to episode 3 of the Don't Touch My Cigars podcast. This is a weekly podcast covering the latest cigar regulation and legislation updates locally in your state and at a federal level, also including international news as well. My intent is to keep you informed and educated with what you can do to protect your rights as a premium cigar aficionado. This podcast is available to Old Soul community members before anyone else can listen to it with bonus content, including live audio. And then it's shared out with the world via all major podcast aggregators. If you listen, please be sure to leave a review on iTunes or wherever you get your podcast from. The Old Soul is a community of people who enjoy cigars and the cigar lifestyle, a podcast keeping you current with cigar legislation updates and other banter eventually. It is an online cigar lounge. It is a quarterly cigar lifestyle magazine curated by the community. You can learn more by going to www.theoldsoul.community. At the end of every episode is a full song for your enjoyment. Just as a quick note, I encourage you to light a cigar, sit back, turn it up, and relax. Right now, I'm not smoking a cigar, but earlier today, I did have my what has become my go-to cigar, a Trinidad Reserve. Never lets me down, so it's just kind of become a go-to for me on a daily basis. Also, a quick note before we get started, you can view all past and current show notes by clicking a link in the show note for this episode. So be sure to go to the description in your podcast player, tap that link, and there's a link just below the introduction text where you can click and you can go ahead and view all of the show notes. Actually, what I'll do as I'm recording this, I have the idea. I will just create a URL. You can go to we'll go to shownotes.theoldsoul.community, and that will take you directly to the area where I have right now stored all of the show notes. And within there, within each document of show notes, you can add comments. That is open and ready to accept any comments that you may have. All right, so let's go ahead and get started with the weekly update, starting with the current advance notice of proposed rulemaking with the FDA. There have been 14 new comments since last week, so since last Thursday, which would have been May 3rd. So since May 3rd, there are 14 new comments. There are two new comments of particular interest, and I probably will not read much of the comments, but they are from Dr. Gabby Caffey, and I apologize if I am mispronouncing his name. He is the owner of Caffey 1901 Cigars, and he left two separate comments on the 7th of May. The first one is regarding the life expectancy among owners of major premium cigar companies. And the second one is an additional comment that he left again on May 7th regarding the BCAA, which is the Boutique Cigar Association of America, which he founded. And he kind of goes into exactly what is a small business, what is a boutique cigar brand, and how will this potential regulation have an impact on small cigar companies that are within this cigar industry, premium cigar industry. The first comment I really thought was interesting regarding the life expectancy among owners of major premium cigar companies. And he says, and I will read a little bit here, he says, when we look at the life expectancy of premium cigar smokers, the best case I can look at as a physician is to simply look at how long premium cigar company owners have lived. Cigar company owners, on average, begin smoking premium cigars at a young age, working on the farms where they grow tobacco. As a personal friend and colleague to many of these owners, I can tell you that they had premium cigars on a daily basis from the age of 18 to 20 and well into their later years of life. He then goes on to list several cigar company owners and the age at which they passed away. And there is one that is still alive. The list here, he has Jose Padron, who was 91 years when he passed away. Avo, and if I can't say the last name, I will not pronounce it. Avo, who started Avo Cigars, he died at 91 years old. Carlos Fuente Sr. died at 81 years old. Rolando Ryer Sr., 89 years old. Gilberto Olivia Sr., 86 years old. Edgar Coleman, 93 years old. Alejandro Robena, 91 years old. Sorry about that. Zeno Davidoff, 87 years old. And Henrik Villager is still living at 87 years old. So he submitted that comment with a slew of other information. I have that linked in the show notes if you'd like to view his comment in detail, but his point was, I think, well made regarding the average life expectancy. If you're just looking at cigar owners, cigar company owners who, as he states, start smoking at a pretty young age. His second comment again regarding the BCAA, he says, one thing I would like to shed some light on is that all of the boutique cigar companies that we represent are all small, less than $250,000 a year, and are family-owned. They are all focused on creating products that are intended to be 100% for adult consumers. And he specifically makes that point because the regulation that is currently in flux is originated to protect the children from premium cigars, if you kind of follow the rabbit trail of that regulation and how it originated, where premium cigars are never advertised to anyone under the age of 18 or 21 in some states. So, you know, he makes the point that it's intended for adult consumers, people who can legally buy and use this product. So those are two comments of note that have been added within the past week. Again, there are 14 new ones. I encourage you in the show notes, go ahead and view the comments. And I have links specific to the two new comments from Dr. Gabby Caffey of Caffey 1901 Cigars. Additionally, there were three articles recently that came out from Tobacco Business Magazine where they dive into a little bit of detail regarding the advance notice of proposed rulemaking, and specifically what they mean for the cigar industry, things that I have talked about previously on this podcast. But you could go ahead, again, in the show notes, I have a link to that article. They also have another article regarding advocacy and how it comes in many different forms, where they spell out in detail the efforts that have been taken on a legislative basis to combat the regulation of the premium cigar industry. Again, things that I've covered previously in this podcast, but I thought that reading through that might be beneficial to you. The link for that is in the show notes again. All right, we'll quickly go through the legislation that is currently active. On all of these, there have been no new co-sponsors. And I see this becoming something that is repetitive on this podcast, where there's no new co-sponsors. Something that I have assigned to myself is to dig into exactly what needs to happen next in the legislative process. That is something that I am not as knowledgeable on as I would like to be. And so I would like to be able to inform you, the audience, what exactly is the process that we are in legislatively and what needs to happen. I do know a critical part for you and I and others is to tell your senator to say yes to Senate Bill 294. That is a really important bill that is currently with the Senate, and we do need to have more support there. There are currently 19 co-sponsors of that bill. We do need to see that number go up, as far as I understand. But that's a quick aside, and I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit. So we have the House Bill 564, which is the Traditional Cigar Manufacturing and Small Business Jobs Preservation Act of 2017. That is in the House currently. I have a link to that in the show notes. It currently sits at 142 co-sponsors. This bill, which is similar to the Senate bill, is looking to amend the Federal Food, Drug, and Cosmetic Act to exempt traditional large and premium cigars from regulation by the Food and Drug Administration and from user fees assessed on tobacco products by the FDA. Again, the Senate bill is the exact same. The Senate bill is currently at 19 co-sponsors. I have a link in the show notes for you to click, which will then take you through a few very simple steps to contact your state senator and encourage them to say yes to Senate Bill 294. There's also House Bill 1136, which is the FDA Deeming Authority Clarification Act of 2017. Specific to premium cigars, this bill is looking to revise pre-market review and reporting requirements for products newly deemed by the Food and Drug Administration to be tobacco products. So that is the one area that will really tie into the premium cigar industry. This bill is currently at 92 co-sponsors. The IPCPR legislative website is a resource that I do encourage you to visit if you have not taken the time to do so yet. The website for that is ipcprlegislative.org, and they have a federal toolbox that you can look at. Now, while the IPCPR is really targeted towards retailers and manufacturers, a consumer can very easily go in there and educate yourself more on what all is going on, what is new, and steps that you can take to become more involved. A cool resource that I did find as I was poking around on their site this week is they have a pretty extensive frequently asked questions page, FAQ page, for retailers. But as a consumer, it is also good for me to know what is going on. And there was a specific question that really stood out to me. The question is, can you speculate on the new executive order that would require eliminating two previous regulations for any one new regulation implemented, and how it would impact retailers and the premium tobacco industry? That is in reference to Executive Order 13771, which was issued on January 30th of 2017 by President Trump. Along with other executive orders, this is from the answer they gave, along with other executive orders focused on regulatory reform is a positive development for any industry attempting to change, rollback, or erase existing and onerous regulations. Put simply, for every one regulation an agency wants to enact, it must repeal or amend two existing regulations to offset the costs of the proposed new rule. This obviously would be beneficial to the premium cigar industry should the deeming rule, or at least previous relating, or at least provisions relating to premium cigars is nominated. However, it's not a quick fix. For any regulation to be repealed, it must undergo a lengthy review by several government agencies, including OMB, to justify its removal. IPCPR and CRA continue to advocate for the administration to use all tools at its disposal to address and amend the issues within the deeming rule. So that is just another avenue which the IPCPR and CRA are taking, specifically with Executive Order 13771. I have that executive order linked in the show notes if you would like to take a look. I also have the frequently asked questions page that I found on the IPCPR website linked in the show notes for you to take a look at. All right, now let's get into updates. State updates, local updates, federal. Actually, no. Do I have? No, none there. Actually, I already covered that, sorry. University updates, international updates. We'll talk about Nicaragua, and then we have a random aside. State updates, I do not currently have anything of substance to report to you. I will link to a PDF that the IPCPR puts out each week, most times. There are a few updates in there, but they were, for this podcast, a little too granular for me to cover where you wouldn't fall asleep, or where I wouldn't fall asleep. So I'll have that linked. You can take a look if you'd like to dive into any state updates that may have an impact on you. I'll take a look at that in more detail and maybe come up with a better way to call out high-level things. But for right now, that'll be in the show notes for you. All right, so local updates. Minneapolis considers changing the age to buy tobacco products. This will be related to the Tobacco 21 movement. They are in the process of changing the age to buy tobacco products from 18 to 21. From the article, 18-year-olds are still in high school, said Vitaw. We know, which would be someone from the city council who was looking to pass this. We know those are young people who would possibly purchase products for 16 and 17-year-olds. So we, by raising the age to 21 years old, we eliminate those connections. So that is in Minneapolis. That is currently in the process of happening. Charleston, South Carolina has banned smoking in parks. Likely at the start of 2019, all parks in Charleston, South Carolina will be smoke-free. This just happened on Tuesday night, so on the 7th of May. No, excuse me, the 8th, sorry. Charleston has 120 parks, according to its website, and they make up 1,809 acres of space. I did notice that they are not sure right now how they will enforce this new ban, but be aware that that is happening. All right, then we have Orangeburg City Council moving ahead with smoking ban. This is in South Carolina as well. Orangeburg City Council is moving forward with plans to ban smoking in some public places. City Councilwoman Liz Zimmerman Keat, who has taken the lead in seeking the ban, said smoking harms both the individual smoking and other people. She said, smoking is really killing us. The smoke is really a harm. And then there was, I always appreciate other views, especially on different councils. They said, I have not heard any complaints about smoking and non-smoking. I think we have enough laws on the books now we have to enforce. I am against it. Someone else said, we've got enough of these of those trivial ordinances. You've got to leave something to the discretion of the people. You can't legislate morality. Amen and amen. All right, then moving on to Port Huron, Michigan, city to give local parks smoking ban some teeth. The current proposed ordinance would prohibit smoking in any city park, beach or playground, tennis court, community center, outdoor athletics complex, or other city-owned facilities. This was introduced to city council members on April 23rd and requires a second reading before approval. According to the ordinance, the ban includes all tobacco products as well as marijuana, shisha and hookah, vaporizer, and any electronic or fire-lighted product other than those used to cook food. The city manager, James Freed, said smoking in parks is not just a public health issue, but also a safety problem when parks are crowded in the summer. So, a little sidebar here. Although you are outside, I have honestly, personally, never understood why someone smoking in a park has any impact on anyone else. Now, I understand if that person is irresponsible, they drop the cigarette or the cigar and it could cause a fire, or someone else could step on it. Maybe a kid's running around with bare feet, they get burns on the bottom of their feet. That's irresponsible. I understand that. But to then ban the entire thing for everyone because of those few instances that are a possibility, it just seems like it's overregulation, in my opinion. Not to mention, if it bothers other people, you're outside, you're not in a covered space. You have the sky as your ceiling. The smoke just goes up. If you're bothered by it, walk away. Just a few of my little opinions there. Moving on. Rexburg Council creates resolution supporting Tobacco 21. This is in Idaho. Despite the city repealing its ordinance banning anyone under the age of 21 from purchasing tobacco-related products in Rexburg, it recently created a resolution urging the state and surrounding counties to increase the legal age to buying tobacco products. The city met last month, where Rexburg Mayor Jerry Merrill read the city's resolution to increase the age to purchasing smoking-related products. He said, just to reiterate that, of course, this is not an ordinance. It is a resolution that encourages other legislative bodies to consider this topic and to hopefully take action on it. They're basically looking to have it done statewide instead of at the smaller local level. There's a few states that are doing that. Illinois is one that comes to mind, where there are so many counties, municipalities that are raising the age of tobacco from 18 to 21, and ideally for them, it would make more sense for the state to just regulate the entire thing. So that's a few states are looking at it that way. All right. Council to take first look at amending smoking ban. This is South Pasadena in California. This one's really interesting. And it makes me laugh. Here's the basic point here. The proposed change would expand the smoking ban to include public sidewalks, including walkways, parkways, curbs, and gutters, which is fascinating. So there you go, South Pasadena, California. No more smoking possibly on the sidewalks. Okay, moving on here. Okay, this is in Topeka, Kansas. Is Topeka appeals tobacco ruling, requests Kansas Supreme Court to hear case. The city, this is interesting, the city of Topeka has appealed a Shawnee County District Court ruling banning the increase in the age to purchase tobacco and has asked the Kansas Supreme Court to take the case rather than working it through the traditional appeals process. Judge Franklin Theus in March issued a permanent injunction barring enforcement of a Topeka ordinance that moved the legal age to purchase tobacco from 18 to 21. The city council passed the ordinance by a vote of 8-2 in early December, largely on the grounds that other Kansas municipalities have similar laws. Theus, however, partially sided with a company. You have the Vape Bar Topeka and Puffs and Stuff LLC and their lawyer, Robert Tuck Duncan, who filed a lawsuit against the city in January. Theus ruled the ordinance goes beyond the authority granted to municipalities under the Kansas Constitution. So that is an interesting one that I thought stood out, with that being battled at the local level and then going up to the Kansas Supreme Court. All right, and now we have We talked about this previously. Batavia, Illinois. Tobacco purchase age increase fails. A proposal to raise the minimum age to purchase tobacco products to 21 years old could not draw enough support from the Board of Aldermen Committee of the Whole. And as such, the idea to join the growing movement in Chicago and the Chicago area has died. The 12-member committee was split 6-6 on the idea during its meeting on Tuesday, according to a report by the Kane County Chronicle. The discussion came as a growing number of cities in the area have adopted Tobacco 21 ordinances, including Chicago, and then we go on to list a few that have adopted this ordinance. Meanwhile, a statewide increase has passed. This is Illinois. A statewide increase in Illinois has passed the Senate and is currently being debated by the House. So while the ordinance itself didn't pass, the committee did adopt a resolution to support a statewide increase by an 11-1 vote. So those are your local updates of note. Again, all the articles I reference and pulled quotes from are linked in the show notes if you'd like to look at them directly. Two university updates for you. One in Gaffney, South Carolina, which is a nice little House of Cards reference to any of you House of Cards fans. Limestone College approves a new policy banning tobacco and smoking. Limestone College will become a tobacco and smoke-free campus with the start of the fall semester. The Limestone Board of Trustees voted April 20th on a new policy to prohibit smoking and the use of any tobacco products on all property owned, leased, or operated by the college. The policy will be phased in throughout the summer and will be fully implemented when students return in the fall. So that is Limestone College in Gaffney, South Carolina. All right, your second university update is in Albany, New York. This is the, University of Albany to ban all tobacco products in January of 2019. This one's really interesting. The University at Albany announced last Tuesday that a complete ban on tobacco products on campus will be implemented in January of 2019, an initiative funded by a $20,000 grant. CVS Health, in partnership with the American Cancer Society and the Truth Initiative, granted the University at Albany Foundation $20,000 last fall as part of CVS's Tobacco-Free Generation Campus Initiative, a campaign to encourage college campuses to ban tobacco products. Much of the University of Albany's Tobacco-Free Initiative will be focused on marketing and informing the campus of the new policy. Some really expensive emails and posters must go out for that. Excuse me. Rich Sargent, a student accounts employee who has been smoking for 30 years, said he disagrees with the policy. And I love the quote they have of him in this article. He says, "I don't know really. I understand where they're coming from, but they're taking rights away from people that are legal to smoke." Amen and amen. Moving on to international updates, more for your awareness than anything else. A smoking ban in Georgia, that would be the country, Georgia's indoor public places comes into force. The law on tobacco control has come into force today in Georgia, meaning that smoking in public places such as bars, restaurants, and offices is forbidden. So there you have the country telling businesses what they can and cannot do. That is the smoking-related international update for you. Regarding Nicaragua, I have two articles here for you to look at, if you would like. Excuse me. So protesting is continuing. Initially, demonstrators took to the streets to protest an unpopular social security reform, but the government's brutal repression of the protesters, many of them university students, has spawned a backlash against Ortega's socialist Sandinista National Libertarian Front. Nicaraguan police and pro-government thugs have killed dozens of protesters. Hundreds have also been injured or disappeared. The government has censored independent media channels by taking them off the air. Reporters and human rights organizations report that live ammunition is being used on protesters, and the military is being deployed in certain parts of the country. According to the Nicaraguan Human Rights Center, the death toll has surpassed 40 in the last month. So that is currently where it is continuing. The protesting is continuing. It is increasingly violent. And while it was started originally for the Social Security reform, It is now more based on how do we get to this point to begin with? What is going on with the government, which is not trusted whatsoever? So it's becoming a much larger issue than the Social Security reform that has since been rolled back. I was not able to find any instance where the continuation of the protesting has had an impact on the cigar companies in that region, but we'll continue to keep an eye on it and let you know if anything changes there. As a random aside, this has nothing to do with regulation, legislation, etc. There is a cool cigar ring gauge tool that the Cigar Advisor, which is affiliated with Famous Smoke Shop, put out. And it's a printable PDF from Cigar Advisor. It helps you identify your cigar ring size, the length. And on that ruler of length, they have an estimated smoking time, which I thought was kind of cool. And then it also gives you some education on how to identify the different wrapper types that, your cigar could be using. So that's just a really random aside. Again, that is the Cigar Advisor Cigar Ring Gauge tool. You could Google that, or you could just click the link in the show notes. It's a PDF that you can print out. It's in full color, just to have on hand if you want to get a better idea of your ring gauge, what size that is, and how long the cigar is, and based on that, how long it should smoke for. So just a fun little thing that I came across and thought I would share with you. All of that being said, what I really want to impart to you is that if you want to protect your rights, you have to take action. And the two organizations that I'm going to mention and that I have mentioned, they make it very easy for you to do so. You can go to the IPCPR website or the CRA website. I have those linked in the show notes. If you go to those websites, you can use them to contact your legislators, asking them to support various legislation that we have discussed, which would have a positive benefit on the premium cigar industry. You can also become a member of the organizations, most likely for you and I, the CRA, and fund them in their daily fight to protect your rights as a premium cigar aficionado. So please don't sit back and expect everyone else to do the work for you. This type of thing requires everyone to be involved at every single level of the industry, from the manufacturers to the retailers, all the way down to the people like you and I buying and enjoying the cigars. So please take action, protect your rights so that they are not taken away from you. Again, this podcast is available to Old Soul community members before anyone else, with bonus content, including live audio, and then I share it out to the world. The Old Soul is a community of people who enjoy the cigar and the cigar lifestyle. It's a podcast keeping you current with cigar legislation updates and other banter eventually. It is an online cigar lounge. And most importantly, this is really what started the idea. The Old Soul is an up-and-coming, it is a new cigar lifestyle magazine that is reader-supported entirely. There are no ads whatsoever in this magazine, and it is 110% community-curated. The community of people, the community of readers, decide exactly what goes into each and every issue of The Old Soul. I encourage you to learn more by going to www.theoldsoul.community. The link for that is in the show notes. Please give me your feedback on how this podcast is and what you would like to see change or how it could improve for you on future episodes. You can do so at any of the locations that I have linked in the show notes. That is on Twitter. And then I have two separate Instagram accounts that you can use to provide feedback. The music at the end here is provided with permission by Scott Cubano. Again, I have a full song at the end that I just want you to sit back and enjoy. Again, my name is Aaron Aiken, the host of this podcast. Don't touch my cigars. And I hope that you enjoyed this episode. Cheers.
Así es que canta la rana cuando ella ve a su sapito, y cuando está enamorada canta como un zarabito. Le contesta,
oui,
oui. Ella con su carterita,
oui,
oui. El zapa con su bocota,
qua, qua.
Y ella con su carterita,
oui, oui.
El zapa con su bocota,
qua, qua. Qua, qua.
Cuando
charco se duerme con gran reproche. El sapito le contesta, ella con su carterita, el sapo con su bocota, y ella con su carterita, el sapo con su bocota, y ella con su carterita, el sapo con su bocota.
Ella con su bocota.